Just waiting for all the full-time scores to be confirmed across the competitions this afternoon. I can tell you that in League One, all the games are finished. Doncaster, 30. Whitehaven, 22. Keighley, 26. Toronto, 26. And York, 28. Workington, 18. And in the League One Shield competition, it was Crusaders, 20. Hunslet, 12. South Wales, 4. Hemel, 22. So South Wales, of course, who are moving to West Wales. I think they might already be there. Changing name next season anyway. But not going into that new name or new season or whatever on much good form. Close games in the Championship Shield and the qualifiers as well. In fact, it's very close between London and Fenton. It's 32-all. Still a couple of minutes to play in that one. Bringing the confirmed scoreline there in a moment. Also, we'll have some breaking rugby league news in about 10 minutes' time as well. But let's head back to Cougar Park, where Mark Wilson and Gary Schofield have been watching that game this afternoon. The first question I've got to ask you, and this might seem a little bit simplistic on the face of things, but we know that Toronto are a full-time squad. We know they spend a lot of money on their players. Against part-time teams, and you know, we know what some of the teams are like in League One, shouldn't they be winning every game by 50 or 60 points? And why aren't they winning every game by 50 or 60 points?
Well, I mean, look, we mentioned that word attitude, Rich. You look today and you compare Matty Baharil to Ryan Brearley. There's only one winner in that outcome. You look at the likes of Fui Fui Moi Moi against, you know, the opposition players like Scott Law, Ben Sager, who's played 80 minutes.
Rawlings,
who's done 80 minutes. It's a no comparison. There's no doubt in the talent these players have got, but talent only gets you so far, and hard work, effort will keep you in the game, and that's exactly what Keighley have done this afternoon. I've got to be honest, it's the first time I've seen Toronto live and in the flesh. I've gone home very, very disappointed. Maybe they know the job's done and it's a bit of a... But, you know, Barrow now are within a win of them. It's not a foregone conclusion just yet.
No, it's not. And it's all about their attitude. And as I said in the first half, Toronto from where they were, they were turning the tap on and turning it off. And yeah, when they turned it on, and they ripped Keighley apart, to be honest with you, that 13 minutes where they scored three tries and they showed the skill levels. But in that second half, you know, Keighley believed in themselves and the confidence what they brought in there. But it was all about the commitment and the effort and the enthusiasm, and Toronto at times they just didn't have it. And all the so-called superstars of this division, what they've got from there, they just did turn it with the right attitude and they got found out, and Keighley fully deserved. And yeah, the answer to the question, Rich, yeah, should Toronto, you know, with all the facilities what they've got, the investment what they've got, the quality of players what they've got, should they be beating teams by 50 to 60 points? Yes, they should. But if they don't turn it with the right attitude, then quite clearly it ain't going to happen.
As you say, they're 2 points in front of Barrow now, and we know Barrow have to go across to Toronto and play them in a few weeks' time. But Barrow next weekend, we're at home too with the York City Knights. So there's big games in this competition. It's almost a shame that we kind of... we don't ignore it on purpose, but there's some exciting games still to come in this division in the race for, well, not just promotion now, but the race for the Championship title.
Well, Rich, as well, the great thing about this, and I say, as Mark Wilson has witnessed here this afternoon, and I've witnessed it a few times at time recovering, you know, the Championship, what you get, all right, at times it may not be, you know, the best of skill for the game, but also, as I mentioned there, at times in Super League, you don't get that, do you? But what you get commitment and endeavour, and as I say, the right attitude from these sort of players, and that's really what you want to see, and that's exactly what we've seen from the Cougars this afternoon.
26 all the draw. You mentioned, you know, some players there who perhaps people won't have heard of before, and
well, I tell you what, Richard,
a great team,
you know,
performance.
Do you know what? You know, Fui Fui Moi Moi, he should be sat in the stands with us. His attitude, and I say, he was pathetic today, absolutely pathetic. And all he's doing, he's just playing on reputation alone. Well, I tell you what, the Keighley players couldn't care less about his silly hairstyle. They couldn't care less about his reputation. And he was absolutely pathetic this afternoon for the Toronto.
Well, he's got big hair, so, you know, they can sell some T-shirts or whatever of him. But I guess surely Toronto are still going to go up, though, aren't they? There's no chance of it all falling apart at some point between now and the end of the season. But I guess we saw with Toulouse, it took them two bites to the cherry last year. And, well, surely they can't.
Well, you wouldn't think not, you know, but as our mate Rod Studd always says, no matter what's happening, there's any outcome is possible. And, you know, I mean, Scotty gave his prediction in the bar earlier, and I've got to be honest, as much as you don't want to agree with it, you found it difficult to think that Keith Lee were going to get a result today, no matter how well they played. We looked at the team sheet, a lot of Super League experience in that Toronto team, but Keith Lee, boy, were they well organised. Did they stick in with one another? You know, Finnegan, a guy who didn't make it at Super League level, started off, I think, at the Bulls, time at Sheffield, but he's scored two tries today out of the top draw. He's defended on his own line. He's made tackles when he's had to. And I think that just typified what we've seen from Keith Lee. And I tell you, you know, Scully said even if they'd have lost, you know, that their coach would have been the happier. They deserve something out of the game, the way they played. And it was great to see them at the end. And I think fitting that Barrell got the kick, because I know he didn't get man of the match, but for me, he was outstanding. He's kicked three from the sideline. And to be fair, Craig Hall's missed a couple easier than that, that maybe ultimately would have won in the game.
Yeah, he did as well. And another thing as well, Mike, you just mentioned there with Finnegan from there, but the rest, also to the rest of the Keith Lee Cougars players, they looked at the programme and thought, hey, listen, I couldn't care less about these. These aren't going to intimidate me. And that, they weren't worried about any sort of reputation, what these players have got for Toronto. Again, they've come with the right attitude and the commitment, and they've fully got what they deserved here this afternoon, the Cougars.
I think it's fair to say the 900 and odd who were there and everyone who's listened to the full match commentary this afternoon has certainly enjoyed themselves. As you say, regardless of how things finished in that one, it sounded like Keith Lee certainly gave their supporters more than their money's worth in terms of their performance.
Hey, do you know what, Rich? If there had been another 2 or 3 minutes left, I reckon Keith Lee might have got the spoils totally. We'd taken away the 2 points because, as I say, they just seemed out on the feet. And as I say, the Toronto and the confidence what they had, the Cougars, if they'd have been a couple more minutes left, I reckon they'd have got the 2 points. But great effort. The fans have been delighted here. The 933, I think, what has been given here this afternoon. They will be talking about this long into the night here at Keith Lee today.
They enjoyed the chip over the top at the end.
Oh, yeah, you could read it from there. And, smart play from the young halfback in Burrell. He's been outstanding here this afternoon from there. And, the pressure was on, 28-hour rate in front, but he's kicked brilliantly all afternoon, not just his tactical kicking, but his goal kicking. He's kicked it from the sidelines, and I say you're turning 4 into 6. And, he loved that moment from there. And if there had been another couple of minutes, I reckon the Cougars would have got the 2 points, but they'll be more than delighted now, and their dressing room will be absolutely buzzing. And Toronto, well, the pressure's on. The pressure is on.
You know, we talk about restructures and stuff, Mark, and I guess this is a division which is going to come under the microscope in the future. Although, as far as I understand, even I've heard the jungle drums on this one, and I understand that we're sticking with the eights next year, but still, who knows? Oh, by the way, it's 5 o'clock. I can tell you that Leeds have signed Jordan Baldwinson from Leeds for next season, for the next 2 years as well. So there's some breaking news for you live on Radio Yorkshire. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But League One, there's obviously something there, isn't there? I know Keith Lee are a traditional club. There are lots of development clubs in this division, but we do need to do something about them. We do need to help the likes of Oxford, who were hammered yesterday by the London Scholars, because we've got to develop the sport across the country somehow, haven't we?
Yeah, look, I think that's right. I think what I think is proven by today and Keith Lee is clearly they have got a very competitive squad. They're clearly a very well-run club. They're playing at a level whereby they can have some success and they can compete at a good standard of rugby. They need to be allowed to progress at that. And if they're good enough, they'll get out of this division, they'll get into the Championship. The problem then comes in the Championship when they're playing teams that have got £1 million more Correct. Central funding
Absolutely.
Than them.
Absolutely.
So they've got no. So they're going to go here from no. I would say, as a Keith Lee fan, you know, every week you come here, your team are going to give you a run for your money. Next year, should they go up, you're going to know 8 times out of 10, you're probably going to get stuffed at home because the team playing as full-time, they've got more players than you, better players than you. It's ridiculous. That's the problem we need to address. What is the pathway for these clubs to get forward? But I think you're right regarding Oxford. I'd like to see all those teams in the south of England maybe put into their own little division, and whereby the team that wins that division maybe does get to compete at a little bit higher level and get a little bit more funding to allow them to build. I think that's what we need to do. But I just think at the moment, pitting teams like Oxford, we know, we've spoken to Tim, we know the budget restraints they're on. You know, I think Scully gets paid more for coming here than some of their lads get paid for playing. It's, I can assure you that. And I'm not being rude and saying, you know, I know what you get paid. It's not a lot of money. And that's the problem in the game, Rich. The discrepancy between those that have and those that haven't, it's too big. And I think until we find a way of levelling that out, then that's where the big problems will continue.
We'll move up the divisions. Scores from the Championship Shield, first of all. Dewsbury 36, Toulouse 34. So Toulouse, just not sure what's going on with them at the moment, but not great news for them in terms of losing at Dewsbury, who are in the top four now, so they could win that Championship Shield this year. Four wins in a row for the Rams. Oldham 16, Bradford 20, although the Bulls were 20-0 up in that one, didn't score in the second half. Rochdale 14, Batley 32, and Swinton 30, Sheffield 32. And in terms of the qualifiers, I beg your pardon, yesterday, of course, Warrington smashing the Catalan Dragons. We'll talk about them in a moment. Hull KR winning at Hull Lee St. James. But today, Halifax 12, Widnes 36, so pretty much as expected there. And London 32, Featherstone 32. Last-minute goal there with a draw for Featherstone Rovers. So we'll start with that one. That's going to be a big disappointment for London, hasn't it? Drawing, especially having been, I think it was 14-0 in front in that one.
Well, I think they were 32-22 up as well, Rich, at the end. Two late tries for Featherstone. I had one question about London today. How would they react to that big performance at Catalan last week? That's the question we have, isn't it, about the lads from the Championship. Can they do it week in, week out? And maybe it was just a game too soon for London. I think 32-all. I think Mark Campbell will probably delighted. John Duffy's first point, by the way, in charge at Featherstone. So he'll be happy finally to get off the mark. But it's almost a result it does neither side any good, really. They both want to win. And, you know, with Widnes winning today, it's a bit of a nothing result for either side. I'm sure Andrew Henderson, who we know very well on Radio Yorkshire, will be disappointed with that. But fair play to Fev. 10 points behind, you'd have taken a point, wouldn't you, Scoy?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I say, yeah, well done to John Duffy from there. As you mentioned, it's his first point in charge of Featherstone. And certainly the players are buying into his philosophies very, very quickly from there. And he's getting a reaction from his players. But, yeah, as you mentioned, it's all about, you know, the consistency performance, as I harp on week in and week out with these players at times from there. And, yeah, Mark Wilson's right. Can they back it up, certainly from the way they performed against Catalans last week, because they were absolutely outstanding. And today, you know, we don't know the performance, how they've done there, but let's give a bit of credit to Featherstone from there and say that, well, they were 14-0 down and took the lead from there and managed to fight their way back. So well done to them, John Duffy. And, it's all about consistency performance. But as far as the result goes, no, it doesn't help any side if they want to get anywhere near that million-pound game.
We expected Widnes to beat Halifax today, and that's what they've done. So Halifax are
well. I did, Rich. Oh. I took Halifax to win today.
Did you?
The predictions. I did, yes.
Dear me.
I did. I've had a shocker. I've had an absolute. I think with a draw there, I took London to beat Featherstone and Widnes have won. So I think I've only got one out of the eight fixtures. Absolute shocker for me this week.
Well, you saw Hull KR yesterday. I saw it on TV, but you saw it with your own eyes at the ground. How impressive were they to sneak another win, as they've done 2 weeks in a row now?
Well, they sneaked a win from there, but I wouldn't say there were two quality sides, if I'm honest with you, from there. But the big difference was Sean Lunt. He was absolutely sensational. And I say I was surprised that he was left on the bench from there. But after 15 minutes, Tim Sheen said, I've had enough of this. I'm bringing my best player on. And I say he just took over. He led the side very well. As we know, he scored a double himself with the tries. But just his communication and his work rate and I say his commitment to the cause from there just lifted all his players. And you know, from a quality point of view, you wouldn't say with the best of games, I would believe. But Hull KR just, they hung in there. They stayed in there. They stayed in it for long periods. And in the end, it was just the quality of Sean Lunt that got them there from there. And say Hull KR 2-2, they'll be very happy the way they're sitting in this moment in time.
Mark, what have you made of that? Because obviously you wouldn't have seen the game because you were watching Leeds United yesterday. But that's a big win for Hull KR in terms of trying to get back into Super League.
I'll tell you what the biggest result for Hull KR was last week when they were behind to Halifax and they turned it round right at the end. Yeah. Because had they not won there, I think that would have been their chance gone. But they did that. And there's almost a belief about Rovers at the moment. I'm not convinced by Lee. I mean, this announcement today that Kieran Cunningham is coming in. Well, as Scully said earlier, the way that Kieran Cunningham, St Helens played, I wouldn't want him anywhere near my rugby league club. Great player does not always mean you're a great coach. The man sat to my left-hand side is somewhat of a good example of that fact. I just think it smacks of a club that are not quite sure where they're going. And I look at them, I look at Widnes, I know Widnes have won today. Beating Halifax doesn't prove anything. It doesn't get them anywhere. And by all accounts, despite the fact that Halifax were blown out of the water first half, they've had a lot of chances to get back into it later on in that one. So I think Widnes and Lee are in big trouble. I said at the start of the season, I thought Hull KR would go up. I thought London would join, and that obviously prediction's taken a little bit of a dint today, but I think there's some big games ahead. I tell you what, I am looking forward now to these eights. I know a lot of people mourn about the eights, but I think in terms of the qualifiers, I think they are fantastic. Yeah, the pressure. I don't know about you, Scott. I know you probably want to see the flow in the great tries, but I think sport is all about pressure. Who can handle it and who can't handle
it? I'll buy into that.
And this is what we're going to see. The next 5 weeks, I know there's a cup final in between, but the next 5 weeks, the pressure is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll buy into that every day of the week, and that's what it's all about. And as you mentioned there, but at times, you know, with some of these clubs from there, and I would say, yeah, they're average players. Can these average players handle the pressure? And I tell you what, I don't want to be hearing these comments. Well, I heard it at Lee yesterday about livelihoods again and all this sort of thing. Hey, listen. Perform better than what you're doing, and you won't be in that situation.
How many of those?
Simple as that.
How many of that Hulkington Rovers squad yesterday were supposedly out of work at the end of last season?
I think it's just nonsense. There's only one man lost his job, wasn't it? That was Kevin Leroy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Even James Webster.
I don't want to be here. James Webster's on the coaching staff, isn't he? But I don't want to be hearing all these tear jerkings about livelihoods and all this sort of thing. Well, listen. Look after your own livelihoods and start playing better. Simple as that. But yeah, as Mark Wilson has just said, it's all about handling the pressure and who is going to handle that pressure.
Especially not when in the real world people have to go through that every day through no fault of their own whatsoever. Well, you know, just point that out to sports stars and teams. Just on this Kieran Cunningham thing, the interesting part of the quotes from Derek Bowman, obviously the owner of Lee, he was the head of rugby before Kieran Cunningham pitched up at the Lee Sports Village today. I don't understand what... All right, he needs to bring somebody in to do this job. Why didn't he bring someone in at the start of the season rather than with five games to go?
Well, exactly. You know, why has he done it five games to go? And what purpose is he going to bring? You know, what does the role identify and what purposes is Kieran going to bring? Yeah, we all know the quality of a rugby league player he was, and one of the best that's ever played in the Super League era. And he's a great bloke here. I have plenty of time for him, plenty of respect for him. But as I said, you know, the way that St Helens were playing, boy, and if he's going to have any sort of impact on the way Lee play or the sort of mentality of the way that the players go about it, then I don't know what he's going to bring. I don't. And as I say, the question is, what role does a director of rugby bring to any rugby league sides? I find it very strange. As Derek Beaumont says, this is why we brought Kieran in, because this is what he could do for us. Has he said anything like that?
Quote, I said earlier in the season, if I was going to replace anybody in the coaching department, it would be myself, as with my business commitments, I'm currently unable to properly fulfil my role as head of rugby and give Neil Dukes the support he needs and deserves. He's away for 4 weeks of the trade exhibition. Kieran has substantially more experience than myself, and I feel his appointment will bring in someone with a fresh pair of eyes and a different approach, as well as a different voice around the place to freshen things up. I believe Kieran is ideal for this role, having been a great attacking player throughout his career and then having successfully gone into the coaching ranks. I still have the utmost confidence in Neil Dukes and my coaching team and their ability to achieve our goals, which I believe will be increased by Kieran's presence. What I would say on the role itself, I guess Tony Smith is the head of rugby at Warrington, isn't he? Even though everyone goes to him as the first point of call as the coach, because Richard Agar is the first team coach. But at Wakefield, John Keir's the director of rugby, head of rugby, whatever you want to call it. And Chris Chester's very much the first team coach, isn't it? It's a job title which, as you say, isn't well defined to the general public at large, is it? We don't actually know what they do.
No, it's not. But also, too, I was just chuckling to myself there when Derek said with Kieran Cunningham has been, you know, a sensational attacking player. Yes, he was. There's no doubt about that. But has he not watched St Helens under his leadership? Did he not watch St Helens? They were absolute dire they were boring to watch, and the players themselves, you know, they needed that freedom, and he just wouldn't give them it, as we've seen them with the freedom what they're playing now under Holbrook. So I find it very, very strange in a way, or what Kieran is going to bring to Lee. And if I were Dukes, to be honest with you, I'd be looking over my shoulder, because he's under pressure. He's under pressure. If Lee do stay in the Super League, it will be interesting if he's going to be the coach next year, because I would certainly be looking over my shoulder. I would.
Well, it's an interesting call. I do enjoy the qualifiers, especially when your team's not in them. It's even better to watch from afar. But interesting, Lee third in the table as we speak, going into the next round of fixtures when they're away
at the Catalan Dragons. This week, that's what I'm saying. This week they go to the Catalan Dragons, and the Catalan Dragons, well, they're absolutely rubbish, aren't they, to be honest with you? They are lacking any sort of confidence. They are lacking any sort of belief. And I say, they brought in a new coach from McNamara. Well, he's brought nothing. He's brought no inspiration or purpose whatsoever to that Catalan side. So if there's any better time to go to the Catalans, this is the time when Lee would want to go.
I'm sticking with what I said about Steve McNamara. Obviously, he did what is widely regarded as a decent job with England. But at club level, I know there were extenuating circumstances at that club, but he doesn't strike me as a figure who will rally up the troops in the face of battle, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
I think you're bang right. I just...
Well, in this kind of situation, you're bringing a coach who's going to... Well, when Wakefield brought in John Keir in 2006 or whenever it was to win a few cup finals, he's exactly the right man to do that, isn't it? Steve McNamara doesn't strike me as that kind of figure.
I completely agree. I can't find anything. I 100% agree. And, you know, you look at it, and we all question it at the time. You know, it's like, I use it from my point of view, the Jeff Toovey appointment at Bradford. Jeff Toovey might well be a fantastic coach, but sometimes you've got to know the level that you're coaching at, and you've got to appreciate what it involves. And I don't think Steve McNamara, other than a decent series against New Zealand with England, is very unproven as a coach, in my opinion. I'm not sure what he brings to the party in respect to the Dragons, and I think that's a gamble that could well backfire. The Dragons might well be the biggest recipients or beneficiaries of that draw in London today, because that might just give them a little bit of breathing space further down the track.
But also as well, you know, from McNamara's point of view as well, Richard Marquis, you know, what sort of inspiration has he brought so far? And for what I'm seeing and looking at the results, he's brought nothing. And all right, it's not his problem where some of the players aren't good enough for the Catalans, and there's a few of the players on the way out at the end of the season, and it just looks as like, well, they put the queue on the rack, or they're ready for the factor six on with the suntan lotion and for the holidays. So Mac has got a big problem in that dressing room, where I guess the player's attitude is quite simple. Well, I'm not here next year. I couldn't care less. Simple as that.
If we go to the top of the competition, then we go to Super League. An intriguing weekend of fixtures. Work our way backwards again, in a sense, looking at Friday. Don't think we need to say much about Hull's 8-6 win at St Helens. Sounds like the conditions were bad, but I guess for Lee Radford and his men heading towards Wembley, three straight wins in the league, third place, almost assured of a place in the semi-finals, you'd think that they'd be glad to be playing into some kind of form, especially with not the full strength team out there on Friday.
Yeah, Radders is absolutely delighted the way they're going about their business, and I say, I'll harp on about it again, they've learnt from last year now, and you know, they're just hitting at the right time, the business end of the season. And I say, yeah, that was a massive win for them on Friday, because all right, the week before Wembley, Huddersfield, everybody be asking regarding the attitude from there, but yeah, you would imagine Hull will be making sure that they pick the strongest team available. If anybody got any bumps or what have you, then yeah, Wembley's a week away, so it'll be an opportunity for the squad lads to put a marker down for themselves, and just maybe give a nod to Radden to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm ready for next week. And if Wembley are there again, if anybody's carrying injuries, then you know, I want to put myself in the shop window from there. But no, Radden is absolutely delighted they're going from there. And I say, if they can get the win next week against Huddersfield, Leeds, play Saints, and say the way Leeds are playing from there, St Helens are becoming with plenty of confidence, even though they got beaten. Hull could find themselves the week before Wembley in second spot, exactly what they want.
Yeah, they could be. I agree with it. I think Radders has learned so much from last season. There's not been, in times gone by, we saw, I think Hull lost by 50 2 weeks on the trot. They conceded 50 points, got battered. In previous years, they'd have been clamouring for Radford to be sacked. There'd be an inquest. Everyone would be asking what's going on. No, get on with it. Dust yourselves down. We go again. They pick up wins. You look at the team on Friday night, you think, yeah, a few young kids in there. Radders has got every faith they're going to come in and do the job. They get the job done. I know Justin Albrook said it's probably the worst game of rugby he's ever been involved with. Lee Radford won't be bothered. All that bothered about that now.
Yeah.
2 points on the table. And as Scoey said now, you know, I've no doubt they'll rest a few more against Huddersfield this weekend with the big game on the horizon. And I'll tell you one thing. If Hull do win at Wembley, they won't be in the pub until Tuesday. I'd be very surprised, you know, if they win at Wembley. They might have a few beers on the way back. And they'll be right back at it. Because they said, we spoke to Lee Radford at the start of this, I think it was in December, and he said, we want that grand final. That is our target. That is our number one target. And they're going to, I think they're real challengers. And I tell you what is interesting now, the pressure all of a sudden is on Leeds, because if Hull get second, then, I think, I don't know if you said at one point you fancied Hull Cass in the final, Gary, well, that's the best way it's going to happen.
Yeah, you can't rule out. But also, as well as you mentioned there, and certainly the right call when they got hammered by Salford 50 on and Leeds 50 on from there, there was no panic. And Radders will tell you, hey, hold on, you don't win anything in May, do you? You don't win.
You remember when people wanted him sacked? It was about 2 years ago. He don't know what he's doing. Get rid of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Adam Pearson has kept the faith in him.
Rightly so.
He's let him build his team. They've got the culture right. They've got the right people. And boy, oh boy, are they a team. What I like about this is, no matter who's here, and I include Leeds on this, if they play the best they can play on the day, anyone can still win Super League. But certainly Hull are a team. And I think, just quietly, if you said to Daryl Powell, you can pick one you can avoid in the semi-final, I think you'd probably say Hull.
Why not? Yeah. Absolutely.
And would you believe Hull are still the outsiders to win the Challenge Cup at Wembley?
That is bonkers.
It is, isn't it?
Having watched Wigan the other night, well, they defended very well against Huddersfield. They defended very well, but attack-wise, they were poor. You know, they kept them out quite easily.
We had a tweet on Friday night from one of our listeners, and I forgive myself for forgetting who it was. He described the game as very much like Hull and Huddersfield a few weeks ago, the game we were going to bring you on the radio and then couldn't. It was very much... I don't know. Nothing seemed to happen in that game, did it? And well, until right at the end with that try on the hooter. But it just seemed to be a game which kind of passed us all by. And neither team, as much as mathematically they can, neither are going to make the top four, are they?
No, certainly not for Huddersfield. You know, Rick Stone, he's pretty good after, said, look, you know, I asked him, what's the motivation now you've achieved your objective? And he's like, no, we're going to, you know, as a professional sportsman, I expect them to be the best every week. And I think Huddersfield will still have a say. I think they might trip up one or two of the boys that are chasing the points. And very much now the pressure is off Huddersfield. But I thought they showed how far they've come as a team. I don't think they were a million miles away. I thought the first Wigan try, the Wigan try just on half-time, I thought the big fella Tautai was offside at the kick, should have been disallowed. And I also, obviously, the last one at the end, that was a heartbreaking one from punter's perspective. But Tompkins getting that try at the end, it was a fortuitous try. There wasn't a lot in the game. And I think, if we're honest, I think Wigan's season is in the final week of August. I think if they can get the win there, then, you know, to come away with silver, there are only three trophies you can win. And to win the Challenge Cup is not to be sniffed at. But a lot of our Wigan supporting friends, and we have a lot of listeners, of course, on a Monday night, 6 until 8, live on Radio Yorkshire, they're saying, papering over the cracks. The cracks are still there, but a cut win will just paper over them for a little bit.
Yeah, it will. And to say, because I was at Wigan a couple of weeks ago when they beat a Leeds second team, didn't they? And, oh, they were absolutely fuming. And, you know, no, the Wigan fans are not happy, certainly from a point of view, as you just mentioned, they going over the cracks on there. And, there's plenty of big doubt about the fans and the way that, certainly the style of play at time, but also as well, they're not as intimidating as what they used to be. And that's a big factor for Wigan. And I say one thing for sure, why Hull are the, not the favourites for the Challenge Cup, I find that very strange.
If Lee Radford watches a video of Friday's game between Wigan and Huddersfield, then I'd advise him not to, it was rubbish. The thing that struck me from that game is Wigan could not deal with Danny Brough's kicking game. And the Marks need conundrum. If you can do it at Wembley again, he did it last year to Warrington. Both those Hull tries came from kicks, and could happen again to Wigan on a couple of weeks' time.
I tell you what, Sean Wayne will have been worried about on Friday night, Rich, the former Joe Burgess. Boy, oh boy, you mentioned they couldn't deal with Danny Brough's kicking game. It was like watching Tom Briscoe on the wing. He couldn't catch anything,
can't
Burgess.
Be, can't be that bad.
Yeah, he dropped the ball. He had the try line begging. He dropped the ball once. He just had it. It was like one of, I've never seen Joe Burgess play. I mean, it might have just been it was a one-off. But I think if you're looking at that video, you're thinking, well, I'll tell you, we'll have a little look down that side first and see how he's getting on. But look, Wigan on their day, if they turn up and play as we know they can, then they're going to be a match for Hull no matter what happens in the playoffs. But I just think they've scraped to where they are now, haven't they? I know that you go injuries and blah, 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 but every team has injuries. It's just one of those years.
I get the feeling,
you know, their team needs a major overhaul. I'm not sure. I mean, we were there the night. Tommy Luluai got the man of the match.
Yeah, I don't know how he got that.
I genuinely don't know how he got the man of the match. It was unbelievable.
And we're not saying he was
sure
rubbish
he's had
or
the
anything,
impact. No, but he's not had the impact that I think many thought he would have. Sean O'Loughlin, magnificent player, magnificent man, captain, leader, whatever, Mr. Wigan Warriors. His game time is getting less and less, and they can't rely on him week in, week out. And I think they need to replace him. And as Leeds, no, you can't replace great players.
No, not, it's you, not that easy.
You know, it's different,
around,
isn't it?
They're not around. How did George Williams play?
Quiet. Again, nothing. Nothing. In my opinion, I don't know if Rich was there. I don't know if Rich has got a different opinion or not.
I think everyone was quiet. Wasn't he? I know the conditions weren't brilliant. A bit of rain around, but still. You know, it was a poor game. And I'm not necessarily sure either side necessarily decided to win. I don't think Wigan deserved to win by as many points as they did in the end. But obviously, I think do enough. So, sell our feet. Wigan, the good news for them is they can make it two wins in a row this week because they take on Salford at the DW Stadium. I guess Sean Wayne's going to have questions over if he leaves players out ahead of the final against Hull the week after. But Salford Red Devils, another defeat for them, and I guess, you know, expected defeat against the Castleford Tigers, who went there, got the job done, and are getting closer and closer and closer to that league leader shield. I'm not sure what else you can say about the Castleford Tigers, and that they are the best team in the competition this year and will deservedly win that shield either this week or the week after or sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they will. And I said the league table doesn't tell lies, does it? But as you said there, Rich, to be honest, it wasn't, you know, a fantastic game of rugby league, if I'm honest with you, from Perry. And Dallo Paolo just said, job done. We got the 2 points. And I say, after the disappointment against St Helens, I went to Salford. Salford turned him over in the season 13-12. Ian Watson said he's got the measure of Dallo Paolo, the way that he coaches his sides from there. So, yeah, Dallo will be very happy. Job done, the 2 points. And ready for the big one on Thursday night against Wakefield.
How many, you know, the Super League dream team, Scurry, how many players are not going to be from Castleford in there?
Well,
we were trying to work this out on the way to Wigan
Well, Zach Hardaker, fullback Gale will be the seven. Yeah, Eden will be in there. Shenton will be in there. Jet Webster, maybe not. But Millington will be knocking on the door. Matt Shane will be knocking on the door. Julian Moores, has he been out too long from there? Adam Milner, you wouldn't rule out. So, certainly, for Cass, you'd certainly maybe bank on maybe six or seven of them, that is. That is for sure from there. But one thing for sure, Dallo Paolo couldn't care less about the dream team. He just wants his players here now, because it's going to be a different sort of mentality and pressure for Cass, because, OK, they're going to maybe, if they don't wrap it up this week, they'll wrap it up pretty soon, won't they, there? And the big question is going to be, and people have been saying to me, will Cass rest players? They can't afford to rest the players. They need the players playing. They need the players making sure it's still that confidence in there and the combinations of the timing, because when you look at this league table here now, certainly the way that you look at, we're looking at the form and expected for the last five games, Leeds have gone off the boil from this, St Helens have picked up, Hull have picked up, Cass are going to finish top, and you know, you look maybe Hull finishing second from there. But Castleford, they cannot afford to be resting players, because it's going to be a different pressure. It's going to be cup football. They're going to be 80 minutes away from where they want to get in Old Trafford. So Dal has no choice but to keep doing what he's done all season. The players have to keep doing what they've done all season from there to get where they want to get.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, they're going to top the league for the first time in their history. And those players, And as much as there have been lots and lots of legendary players at Castleford in the past and legendary teams who've won Challenge Cups and this and that and the other, no team for Castleford has done what they're about to do. They're on the verge of real history.
Well, they are, but listen, at the end of the day, we all know, you know, with the hood cap, whatever we call it from there. At the end of the day, it's all about who wins at Old Trafford, and they know that. They know that. Yeah, it's going to be a great achievement for finishing after round 30 at the top of the league from there. But that doesn't mean anything. The two major trophies, everybody, even Tony Smith said it last year. All right, we've won one trophy, but it's the least of the three. It's the least of the three, and that's exactly what it is. So, Castleford, yeah, job well done. Darryl Pyle of the players will be saying, yeah, job well done. We've got one tick in the box, but we know exactly what we want. But as I say, for that 80 minutes down at the Mendenhall's Jungle, 80 minutes away from Old Trafford, that is going to be the pressure cooker situation. Them players have not been in the pressure cooker situation. If Leeds go down there, or St. Helens or Hull, as they know, they've been in that situation there, so it's going to be all new sort of added pressure for the Castleford players. And it's all a question is, can they handle it for the 80? Are they good enough to handle it for the 80? Yes, they are. Are they good enough to win at Old Trafford? Yes, they are. But it's all going to be about pressure and how they handle pressure.
You see, Mark, we're trying to big up the league leader shield. It's an important thing. And Scully just comes and rips it all apart. What can we do?
Yeah, well, he should be banned, in my opinion. Look, I think it is a tremendous achievement. And I think the neutral rugby league fan would want Castleford to win it because they have been the best team throughout the year, but that's not how it works. And people like Wakefield, they turn up and play like they did on Thursday, can win it. We all know Hull can win the big games now. It is wide open. And Castleford have, I think what they'll want to do is get the 2 points on Thursday, get that wrapped up, and then literally, I would look at it, they've got a 5-week mini pre-season until the two playoff games, hopefully, that they will have. So it's going to be interesting. Really, really interesting.
Yeah, but Mark, he can't all of a sudden say, right, look, girl, you're having 3 weeks off.
No, Jack, no.
No, they can't.
I think what he might do is he might say, he might go, this week I'm going to leave two out or three out.
But what's the point?
Just to give them a week, a freshen them up a little bit. I don't know, you know, and maybe try other things just in case.
I don't think he will. And I think also as well the players will be saying, Dell, I just want to keep playing and playing and playing. And I don't think there'll be any changes whatsoever. I don't.
Stephen's asked us about Wakefield. He says, do Mark and Gary feel Trinity are back in the mix to finish in the top four after a great win against Leeds on Thursday? And would you agree their performance was spot on in terms of defence and attack?
Wakefield performance I've seen for a long time. I thought that defence in the second half, they strangled Leeds. So, Stephen, you're asking me, was it a bob-on performance? Are they in the mix? Of course they're in the mix. They are right in the mix. They're in pole position right now. Whether they will be next week, we don't know, but that's the thrill of the race, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. Well, yeah, Wakefield, and I say, as I said during the season, wasn't it? As we all know, you know, the bit of a banter me and the Wakefield players had, and certainly we missed a feat after they got hammered at Leeds from there, and it was all about consistency. And now they went on, what, that 9-10 run, winning run, so they know themselves they could play consistently high-level rugby league, quality rugby league on a consistent basis. Now, Richie, the question is, the five games to go, it's in their own hands. If they perform how they performed on Thursday night, boy, oh boy, Wakefield are making the four. It's as simple as that.
Well, they haven't finished in the top four since 1981, which is even before Scully's career started. So a long, long time ago in the myths of time. I have to say, as enjoyable as Wakefield's performance was, I did enjoy some real Laurel and Hardy-style comedy defending from the Leeds Rhinos on Thursday. They were bringing the entertainment back
Come
to rugby
on,
league.
You've been a bit harsh.
Everyone watching that game was thinking the same, Scully. Come on, Leeds.
Richie, you're being a bit harsh on my beloved Rhinos, aren't you? Hey, you're ripping into everybody. Don't you be ripping into my beloved Leeds Rhinos. I'll tell you what, let's rip into Phil Kaplan.
I'll tell you what, though, Rich, in fairness to the legend, he was very humble.
Oh, yeah.
In defense. I'm not sure he had any other option, but he was very humble and he was very full of praise for Wakefield. And that's the one thing I want to take out of Thursday. Too often we go, oh, they were rubbish. Yeah, Leeds were rubbish, but Wakefield was superb. And that's the overriding thing that I took out of that.
Wakefield made Leeds play how they played.
Yeah,
you know, because the commitment, and I say, as we all know, it wasn't there against Huddersfield, but I would imagine, again, this is not all about coaching, it's all about man management. Chester would have said, bad day at the office. It's good in the filing cabinet, which is the dustbin. Forget about this. We've got the big boys coming from over the river, and then we'll get back to how we can play. And they did that, and they didn't let Leeds play. All right, yeah, Leeds were rubbish, and it wouldn't surprise me that they came back and got the result against St. Helens. But that's the way it is. But no, take nothing away from Wakefield on Thursday night. From 1-17, brilliant as individuals, as a team collectively, they were brilliant. Can they make the four? Yes, they can.
Yeah, unfortunately, as in the Leeds Rhinos video session last week, they watched the video of Wakefield versus Huddersfield and they decided to copy what Wakefield did, which was a bit of a shame for them. Stevens asked us, what we think of the signing of Jordan Baldwinson, signing, as we said, that 2-year deal at Wakefield starting at the side of next year. Wayne said, Rhinos are struggling for forwards and we let a talented young man like Jordan sign for the team that just beat us, and then put some expletives in there. What's going on?
I agree. I like Jordan Baldwinson, but for some reason, Macca doesn't like him from there. And I think all the Rhinos fans, and the Rhinos fans I speak to after the game on Thursday and since, and when you look at that Leeds pack, as good as what the players have been, JJB's coming to the end, Ablett's coming to the end, Delaney's coming to the end, and yeah, it's a mystery, and I'm sure the Leeds fans will be asking the question, why are we letting a quality front rower, back row, whichever, where he wants to go, Baldwinson, to one of the big rivals in Wakefield. Mm. Plenty to offer Baldwinson. Good signing for Wakefield. Oh. Smart signing by Chester from there. And as I say, Leeds letting another youngster go and to one of the rivals from there. And we need some quality forwards, because at the end, as I just mentioned, the three names there, they're coming to the end of their careers.
Yeah, I asked, go on, Rich. No, I asked that question on Twitter. And Brian McDermott fan club have been out in with their reasoning. But I also had a very good tweet come in. Let me just get to it. From Hewitt Thunder 12s, actually. So Wakefield have lived and thrived off other teams' cast-offs. It'll be a great signing for us. Mm. Fair enough, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, but Baldwinson's a good player.
Well, he's 22 years old.
I can't understand. Yeah.
Had a couple of seasons on Joe Reg and whatever at Featherstone. Everyone there seems to speak highly of him, don't they? I think we had a tweet from Kev, if I can find that one as well, talking about it. And it does seem that it's a signing where, again, the positivity is going to Wakefield and the negativity on Leeds.
Well, I'm just thinking here, Leeds, right? And they've let a quality forward go and they've brought a halfback in who's not good enough for Leeds. How do you work that one out?
I don't know.
How do you work that one out? Myler's not good enough for Leeds. Baldwinson's good enough for Leeds. Baldwinson goes and Myler's in.
Yeah, Kev says he deserves his chance in Super League. Never really given a chance at Leeds, but being a top performer for Fev over the last couple of seasons. And Fev over the past couple of seasons have been in the qualifiers, so must have some quality about him.
Yeah, the Wakefield fans, they not only should be delighted with the sound of Baldwinson, because, as I say, he will bring them something what they want, and that's, the consistency performance from there. And yeah, the kid's a quality player, simple as that.
Well, Rich, I don't know if you've seen, he's actually just tweeted out a statement, Jordan Baldwinson. Really happy to announce I've signed a 2-year deal with Wakefield Trinity. I'd like to thank the Leeds Rhinos for the last 2 years, and a massive thank you to the fans who've always supported me. My reason behind asking for a release from the club is simply down to lack of opportunity. Always my dream to play for Leeds. I feel it's the right time to move on. I'd like to thank Featherstone Rovers and their supporters for accepting me as one of their own and giving me the game time I needed. I can't wait to start my new journey with Wakefield and add to what is already a great squad. Lastly, thanks to his agent. So the kid, as you always say, Scotty, he just wants to play rugby.
He just wants to play rugby league, and he wanted to play for his beloved Leeds, and for whatever reason, the kid's not been selected. But he will add some quality to Wakefield. There's no two ways about that.
Well, he can come and join a team now which loves beating his beloved Leeds, especially on Thursday nights.
Oh, Ritty, Packity.
Hey, look, one swallow does not make a summer, but still we're going to take advantage of it while it's here. Before I let you go, because has everyone gone now from Keithy?
I think the guy, the press guy is desperately wanting to. He keeps dropping hints. He's been up and put a huge padlock on the lock in the press room. I think he wants
press
to
room.
Leave, but we're all right. I'll
leave you with the question I always ask, Scoey, which is, what's in the column tomorrow, Scoey?
Yeah, it was how good Wakefield were, how rubbish Leeds were, and regarding the game with Leeds and Hull KR. So, yeah, plenty there tomorrow, and as I say, the Wakefield fans will be delighted what I've said about their beloved club.
And Mark, you're looking forward to being back here, having had that 2-week suspension?
2 weeks off. I'm fit and raring to go. Monday night, 6 until 8. Don't, hey, believe me, Rich, I might not be a Wakefield fan, but Kaplan and Schofield are going to get plenty tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And just finally, Rich, thanks for sending us to Cougar Park today. I have to say, when you made that call, I thought, I'm not sure about that one. I'll tell you what, most enjoyable game of rugby I've seen for a long time. Well done to the Cougars. Pleasure to be here. Their hospitality and their kindness, fantastic. I'm sure we'll be back at some point in the future.
Well, come on then. Shut up. Let's enjoy the hospitality and get a couple of quiet ones down us. Cheers, Rich. I'll see you tomorrow.
Gary Schofield and Mark Wilson there. Thank you very much indeed. They'll be back with us tomorrow from 6 here on Radio Yorkshire.
With all the great things you can do in York Race,